Let me ask you, if you would, to access a Bible. If you brought yours, that's fine. If not, if you can look on the pew. This morning, we are returning to the passage we looked at last Sunday morning, and we're going to finish this lesson. So look with me to Luke chapter 13. We are in Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read again verses 10 through 17. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Whatever version you have, translation, that's fine. Just follow with me. Luke 13, are we there? Verse 10. Now he, that's Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Verse 14, but the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath." Verse 15. Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stable and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said these things, all of his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by Jesus. It is the Sabbath, Saturday. It is the day in which Jews from all over the world would go to their local synagogues, and they would worship God as he had instructed them to do under the Old Testament law. On this particular Sabbath, in one particular synagogue, Jesus was there. And Jesus, in that service, was teaching. But in that service, it wasn't just the teaching of Jesus that was going to be heard, but it was the love and the power of Jesus that was also going to be clearly displayed. As Jesus was teaching, there was a woman who slowly entered that synagogue service. Luke, the writer here, who was also a doctor, gives us some information about this woman. Luke tells us that this woman had been sick for 18 years. Now, brethren, that's a long time to be sick. That alone would make one very, very weary of life. Those days, those weeks, those months, those years would have to seem like eternity to that poor soul. But Luke not only tells us that this woman had been sick for 18 years, but Luke says that she suffered with an infirmity. That is, she possessed a horrible, disfiguring disability. It was a disability that bent her double, which means that even the most routine activities in life would have been difficult for this poor soul. Just walking around or just reaching to get something, that would have been a task for her. Are you listening? Because in addition to what was physically wrong with this woman, her being a Jew, which Jesus identifies that she was, there would have been a stigma in Jewish society placed upon her. The Jews believed earnestly that suffering was a punishment that came from God because of sin that you had committed in your life. They had always believed such. Even back to the book of Job, when Job had suffered tremendously the loss of his wealth and the loss of his children and the loss of his health, remember his three friends who came to him, and for 30 chapters, Job is in a conversation with these three friends, and these three friends are saying to Job, "Look, Job, you had to have done something wrong, or this wouldn't have happened to you." The basis of their argument is Job. The reason you're suffering is you're suffering for sin, and you just need to confess your sins. But then you come into the New Testament. In Mark chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3, Jesus is with his disciples, and they come upon a man who is blind, and he's been blind all of his life. And as soon as the disciples see this blind man, the first thing they said to Jesus, they said, "Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, because he's blind?" That was the thought of the day. This man is blind. This man is suffering. So he or his parents, one, must have done something wrong. Even in Luke chapter 13, earlier in the chapter, in verses 1 through 5, there were a group of people who came to Jesus and were telling Jesus about an incident in the city of Siloam. And they said to Jesus that in the city of Siloam, there was a tower that fell down, and when this tower fell, it killed 18 people. And they asked Jesus, "Now, are those 18 people that tower killed, are they the worst sinners of everybody?" Because that's what they thought. If you suffer, it's God punishing you. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that in addition to this lady's physical pain, in addition to her embarrassment about being bent over and going through life,
there was this emotional pain in that everywhere she would go in Jewish society, there was this stigma where people would point and where people would say, well, what did she do? She must have done something really bad because God has really put it on her. So Jesus is teaching, and he sees this woman with her horrible disfigurement come into the service, and he calls her forward. He heals her. As a result of her being healed, she glorified God, and the ruler of the synagogue had a fit that this was going on the Sabbath. Now, we said last Sunday morning that we were going to take this event and spiritualize it. That from this narrative, there are five spiritual applications that I want us to see and that I want us to make. We made two of them last week. We noticed last week from the narrative, number one, we notice here that Satan was alive and well. In verse 16, if you'd look at it again quickly, Jesus says that this woman's disease was caused by the devil. Satan was alive and well then. Listen to me. Satan is still alive and well. Brethren, Satan is still the cause of all sickness. He is the cause because of the events that he prompted in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, the third chapter. Now I want to make this clear, and then we go. All sickness, all disease, all cancer, all disability, all death, all war, all hate, it is the devil who is at the center of all of it, and that's who we need to point the finger of blame at, and not God. The second application we made last week, if you look at it, is that the narrative teaches patience. Patience. For 18 years, she dealt with it, and for 18 years, she stayed faithful to God. Are you hearing that? In all of those endless years, she never lost faith, she never lost patience, and she never gave up on God. May God increase her number. Now this morning, there are three more applications that we want to make. And I want to say this, and this is coming out of nowhere. I am the most frustrated person in the world because of me. Because of me. Because I constantly feel frustrated that what I'm trying to say, I'm not saying so that everybody understands it. And so that's the thing I beat myself up with. So I want you to grasp this, okay? That's all I'm saying. Three spiritual applications here. Number one, those who come to worship have good things happen to them. Those who come to worship have good things happen to them. She kept coming to worship. Did you hear me? She kept going to worship. She kept going to worship. It's been 18 years with this mess, and she kept going to worship. You know what that means? Because I figured it out. 52 weeks in a year, 18 years. That means that 935 times she walked in to the worship and she walked out, and it hadn't changed her. But on the 936th time that she went, her life was changed. What if she had woke up that morning and said, I'm not going? What if she had woke up this morning and just blew off God? It's one service. There is no indication in this text that this woman knew that Jesus was going to be in that synagogue. And there is certainly no indication in this passage that she knew if Jesus was going to be there, that he was going to call her up. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get this. This lady experienced pain. This lady experienced embarrassment because of her disability and how she came across. This lady experienced the humiliation of knowing that her own people, her own society, were pointing at her and were suspicious of her, because that's what Jews in that day believed about people who were suffering. She experienced all of that. But what she did is she took all of that and she pushed through all of that, and she refused to allow those things to possess her. Today, we experience pain. Today, we have frustration, we have struggles, we have trials, we have temptations, we have fears, we have anxieties, and we allow these things to possess us, and we allow them to possess us to the point that they affect our faith and we stop worshiping God.
to church. I am constantly amazed. Amazed that how many of us, at the first hint of trouble, we quit God. Well, I'm going through something, and then I'll be back to church. And tomorrow morning, Monday morning, you'll be going through that same thing, and you'll take yourself to work. So what I'm dealing with doesn't affect my job, but it affects my relationship with God. Do you think God's dumber than we are? So here's the question we have to ask. Here's the question we have to ask. Can we keep coming to worship in spite of our struggles? Can we keep coming to worship in spite of our anxiety, in spite of our trials, in spite of our heartaches, in spite of our disappointments? Can we come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, week after week after week after week? 935 times she came and left, and 936 times her life was made different. Here's what the preacher's saying. The one service that you stay away from could be the one time in Bible class where what's being discussed could help you in your life and change you. The one service you blow off could be the one time. It could be that 936th time where what is preached on is said and explained in such a way that it has an impact on your life and will make your life better. So here's the question we must all ask ourselves. Ask yourself, do I get up on Sunday morning? Do I get ready? Do I get in my car? And do I come here? And when I come in here, am I expecting that I'm going to be in the presence of an almighty, all-wise, unknowing God? When I get up and when I come in here, am I aware that when I come here, what I am expecting to happen is that I am expecting to be blessed and I am expecting to be strengthened? Do we expect that? And I pray that all of us do. Amen. Good things come to those who attend worship. Good things come to those who attend worship. She just kept coming and she just kept
coming, and she just kept coming, and God changed her whole life. Second application. Listen to it carefully. Second application. All of us are bent. All of us are bent. Now follow me. What is it that has you bent this morning? Is it the loss of a loved one? Maybe it is a recent loss or a loss that's been a while, but it still affects you. What is it that has you bent? Is it the loss of a job? Is it a health issue? A health issue with yourself or a health issue with someone else that you know and love? What is it that has you bent? Is it a ruptured relationship? Is it a problem within your family? Is it the fact that you are a high anxiety person or a high fearful person? What I'm asking you, what is it in your life that is robbing you of the peace that God wants you to have? Now, I want you to go back to Luke 13 for a minute. I want you to see something in this text. I want you to see in this passage that there are two crippled people. You say, I missed it. You didn't miss it. The lady who comes in is crippled. And the ruler of the synagogue is crippled. The lady is crippled on the outside. The ruler of the synagogue is crippled on the inside. The lady knows that she is crippled. The ruler of the synagogue is clueless of how bent and twisted up he is. Look at verse 11, the lady's condition. She's crippled on the outside. She is bent over and cannot straighten up. Look at the crippling of the synagogue ruler in verse 14. The ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, are there not 6 days to work, to get our work done? Come on one of those days and be healed. Now let me explain. Under the old law, the Sabbath was the day of rest. Work could not be done. But the old law doesn't elaborate or define what work is. But even though the Sabbath was a day of rest, there were things that the Jews could do. One of the things they could do is that even on the Sabbath, when they couldn't work, what they could do was take their animals and water their animals so that their animals wouldn't dehydrate. That was necessary work, and so that was allowed. Now watch Jesus' response to this. Luke 13, look at verse 15 and verse 16. Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his..." Now watch the two animals he uses. Ox, donkey, from the stable, and lead him to water. "And ought not this woman, who is the daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan 18 years, shouldn't she be loose from what she's bound on the Sabbath?" What Jesus is saying to the ruler of the synagogue, he's saying, "Listen, man, you care more, ox and donkey, you care more about dumb animals than you do about somebody who's been created in the image of God." This ought to cause all of us to stop and wonder. Am I crippled on the outside, or am I crippled on the inside? Now, if I'm crippled on the outside, then I need to do what this woman did. I need to remain faithful to God in spite of what my struggle is. But if I'm crippled on the inside, if it is my attitude that's crippled, if it's my thoughts that are crippled, if it's my heart that's bent and twisted, then what I need to understand is my ways are hypocritical and I need to repent. Here are two people who are crippled. One was crippled on the outside, the other's crippled on the inside, but both of them needed Jesus. Quickly look at the narrative. We're going to close. Quickly look at the narrative. The narrative teaches that Satan is alive and well. It is Satan that put this on this woman, and it is Satan who will put it on you. The second thing the narrative teaches is patience. Let me tell you two things about God. Number one, God doesn't wear a watch. And number two, God doesn't own a calendar. Now that's hard for us because our lives are totally ruled by time as we know it. But God isn't ruled by time. He's ruled by eternity. The third thing the narrative teaches is that good things come to those who attend worship. And the one time you miss could be the time that God has brought it all together. The fourth thing that the narrative teaches is that we are all bent. You may be bent struggling with something on the outside, or you may be bent and struggling with something on the inside, but whatever it is, the cure is Jesus. Finally, number five, the narrative teaches that God can heal our brokenness. Follow this, we're done in a minute. Jesus saw her. He saw
her. Jesus called her. And Jesus healed her. And what the Lord did, what the Lord did for her, He's willing to do for us. We make it so complicated. We make it so, I just can't get my arms around it. Brethren, listen to me. This is it, and this is it. If God is God, and He is, if Jesus is with us, and He is, if the Holy Spirit is in us, and He is, then that means that at any moment, I can not only be forgiven, but in any moment, I can be blessed and I can be strengthened. That's it. That's it.
We're all bent. But none of us have to be broken. Jesus saw her. This morning, He sees you. If you are crippled inside or out, He sees you. This morning, He calls you. Come unto me, all who are labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. And this morning, He can heal you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You're bent, but God can heal your brokenness. Change your life. Look at God with fresh eyes and with new focus and with new vision. This morning, if you're here, if you're broke, if you're bent outwardly, inwardly, your back or your heart, if you need to respond, may God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we